Thank you for listening to the official podcast of White Oak Pentecostal Holiness Church, where we cultivate true worshipers in Wilson, North Carolina. For more information on White Oak, visit whiteoakphc.com.
Praise God. It was the testament, amen, of the Old Testament that he began to what? Speak, wasn't it? He said, man shall not what? Live by what? Bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God, coming out of the book of Deuteronomy. So the word of God, amen, is rich. And we have to have it, amen, in order to live here today. We as believers. So as I was reading through the practical points, you know, as you always get through something, amen, that just makes you go, hold it. Back up and do this again. Amen. The lesson, praise God, on this morning, amen, was about Isaac finding, amen, the wife, and Father Abraham sending his servant to do that. But the point, amen, that caused me to stop, amen, as I began to look was point six, and it says, worship should be our first response to answered prayer. Worship should be our first. Now, some of us think we got to come down here to the church. Yeah, we got the only place that we can worship, amen, is in this place right here. But I want you to know you're the church. And all of us ought to have a place somewhere, amen, in our homes, praise God, that we can go and worship. Amen. Or in the car. Come on, somebody. Amen. But there has to be a response from God's people, amen, to his goodness. So he left me right there, responding to God's goodness. I'm going, okay, Lord. And then he says, my response to God's goodness. Make it personal. Say it, my response. To God's goodness. My response. To God's goodness. Amen. There isn't a day that we get up here, get up, open our eyes, amen, that we cannot acknowledge God's goodness. I don't know about you, but I'm 63. Celebrated that birthday on the 20th of July. And what I've noticed is that I'm getting a little older. As a matter of fact, they called me an old lady, you know, and we were doing something in the program. They referred to us as, no, you know, the old people. I'm going, old people. But we are getting a little older. And what we realize is that when we age, amen, age brings on what we hope, wisdom. Can I get a witness? We don't seem to do some of the foolish things we did before. Maybe we're talking about your cousin. You know, maybe we're not talking about you. You ain't done anything foolish, anything you've had to repent of, praise God, amen. But I know, praise God, I've had some stuff that, yeah, I'm ashamed of. And let some of us open that closet door and allow some of the stuff to fall out. But there has to be a proper response from God's people to his goodness. And it should be automatic. It should be what? Amen. It should be automatic. When I think of the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for me, my soul shouts, hallelujah. God, I thank you for saving me. When I look on my forehead of children and see that they're all grown, when I can see grands coming through, when I can go to their house, sit on their couch, rub my head back on their chair, scratch up their table, start doing something. I wouldn't do that, but I mean, when I can, he's a good God. And we don't have to look very far to see his goodness. But as we went through the lessons, what we noticed about patriarch Abraham is that every time, even when he faltered, even when he missed the mark, he would take time to worship God. He would take time to worship God. And the thing about what we noticed on this morning is that he had that thing so ingrained in him that everybody in his household, even his servants, began to worship the same way. Come on, somebody. After that servant went and found that girl that his master would be pleased with, the servant paused, took time, and began to what? Worship. God proclaimed a sevenfold unconditional covenant with his servant Abraham. He told him that he would be a father of a great nation. He told him that he would bless him and he would be a wealthy man. He told him that his name would be great. Abraham was going to be a blessing to all those around him. God was going to bless those that blessed him, and God was going to curse those that cursed him. And then the last one he told him was that all the families of the earth were going to be what? Blessed through his descendant. And that was the great descendant that was going to come through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, I too believe that God can bless us exactly the same way. And we can begin to speak those blessings on our families the same way. Doesn't matter what the trial is or what comes up. As they sung this morning, trouble doesn't what? Last always. Amen. Especially for the children of God. Amen. We know the sun is going to shine. So we shouldn't let our hearts get so heavy. Amen. That we stop. That we give up, no matter how bad it is. Well, what is this thing about worship? Why is it so important for God's people? Because there's a counterfeit out there. I want you to know the enemy has a counterfeit to everything that's Christ-like. And we can think we're engaging in worship, when all we're doing is putting on a show. Help us, Lord. Worship of God can only be through spirit and in truth. Why must we worship in spirit? Because our God is a what? Spirit. And his son Christ is what? Spirit. And he has given us all a what? Spirit. Help me, Holy Ghost. Amen. So there has to be a connection with our worship that is spiritual. And that spiritual connection can only come through a heart that is ready to receive. So we've got to prepare our hearts for worship. Just like you get ready to go to that job every day, help me, Lord. That I get ready to go to school, anything I get up and prepare for, help me, Holy Ghost. Amen. I too must take that same preparation in worship for Christ. And then there's the second thing. There has to be a word. Worship of God involves spirit and involves truth. Now, what is truth? Christ says, I am the what? Truth. And the what? The light and the what? Way. The truth is the word of God. And that word was made what? Flesh. And it what? Dwelt among us. How can I truly worship if I don't know who I'm worshiping? Right. Is it about that song that's sung? Is it about that preacher I heard on the TV? Worship is about worshiping in spirit, and it's worshiping in truth. In other words, I need to know who it is that is worthy of my praise, my reverence, my prayers. I need to know who it is that is worthy of that. And I'm telling you, there are a whole lot of counterfeits out here. If I go to church and I never get a word, help me, Holy Ghost. If I don't hear the word read, if I don't hear prophetic words coming from that man or woman of God, I'm missing something. And if you can't tell me after you went to church, wherever it was, what the word was, you missed something. That means I had eyes and I can't what? Sleep, because the enemy will come quickly. Because after they'll stop singing, praise God, my eyes will get a little heavy. Come on, somebody. Come on, my ears will get a little what? RJ's not beating on the drum. Something happens. What is that? That's the enemy that's coming. You slept all night. Help us, Lord. Come on now. He comes quickly. Amen. To steal, to kill, and what? To destroy. Go with me to John 4. I won't be before you, Lord, long. John 4. St. John chapter 4. Now, we've heard the story about the Samaritan woman. Amen. And Jesus coming through Samaria. Mm-hmm. And the chapter opens by him speaking of him having needs. There's a need that I go through Samaria. Amen. Now, Jesus was Jewish. Amen. And Samaritans were half-breeds. And Jews, praise God, did not even want to. Many of them would actually go around that area rather than to go through Samaria. They had no dealings with this group of people. But on this particular occasion, the scripture opens in verse 4 and it says, and he must need go through Samaria. This is Jesus speaking. And verse 5 says, are you there? Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being weary with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. It was weary. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus said unto her, give me to what? Drink. Just like Eleazar spoke to Rebecca in the scripture this morning. Give me to drink. Amen. But Rebecca was a Jewish woman. Amen. She had been trained. And women served their men during that day. Come on, somebody. Oh, they did. Amen. Called them Lord and everything, Rayshawn. Amen. When was the last time Pete called you Lord? Come on, somebody. Jesus asked the woman, give me to drink. For his disciples were some were gone away into the city to buy meat. Then said the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no what? Dealing with the what? Samaritans. Mm-hmm. Well-known fact. Jesus answered. He's got a response, doesn't he? He answered and said, if thou knewest, woman, if you knew who it was, if you knew the gift of God And who it is that saith unto thee, give me to drink, thou would have asked of him, and he would have given thee what? Living water. Because whatever we get from Christ, that's that quickening. It is a what? Living word. Living water. The woman said unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence, you know, where am I going to get this living water? Are you greater than your father Jacob, which gave unto us this well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? And Jesus, so she, you know, there's our mind and our wisdom. Oh, Lord, have mercy. We're always trying to reason and kind of figure this thing out. These are words of what? Life, and they're what? Spirit. Jesus answered and said unto her, whoever drinketh of the water shall what? Thirst again. If you drink of this water, come on, somebody. I just had some. Let me get me some more. This water right here. If I drink this water right here, now that relieved that thirst for just a little bit. But what's going to happen? I'm going to what? I'm going to get thirsty again. But when we receive of Christ, and this is what he's trying to get her to understand. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall what? Give him. Shall what? Never thirst. Why? Because there's no end. It's a what? It just keeps right on what? But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a what? Well of water springing up into what? Everlasting life. Now there's a difference, isn't it? Amen. The woman said unto him, sir, what? Give me this what? This water that I thirst not, neither come here to what? Draw. And Jesus said unto her, go call your husband to come here. And the woman answered and said, I have no husband. Come on now, you can't talk to the Lord any kind of way, can you? Amen. Because this is a living word. Amen. And it says, the woman answered and says, I have no husband. And Jesus said unto her, you spoke well that I have no husband. Not only do you not have one, he says that you've had what? Five husbands. And he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. And in that saith, what you've said is the what? Truth. That's what he's trying to say. Amen. The one you've had five, amen. In other words, he knows everything. As my sister can say, there's nothing. We're open books. We're hid. Everything's open before him. Amen. And why we would even think that we can, you know, we can reason and, you know, outwit, I mean, the wisdom of Christ, I don't know. Let me keep reading to get to where I want to get to. Amen. 19 says, the woman said unto him, sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our prophets, our fathers worship in this mountain. And say ye that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. There was a place. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. But Jesus said unto her, and these are the verses I want to lift up before you. Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. It's not going to matter where you are, the place. Ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But, the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in what? Truth. That's us. That is us. For the Father, what? Seeketh such to what? Worship him. Verse 24. God is what? Read that again. God is a what? And they that what? Must worship him in what? And in what? Truth. Did I make that up? I did not make that up. And that's where he had me depart this morning. There are so many counterfeits that are in our churches. Come on, somebody. From the pulpit to the door. When you're teaching a cashier, when you're teaching folks in the bank to recognize when they have a counterfeit bill, they have to study the real thing. They know the details of that bill inside out. They know, praise God, amen, exactly what it should look like. They have studied the real thing so that they can identify what is a counterfeit. And I want you to know the enemy is trying real hard with the counterfeit bills, praise God, because I couldn't recognize it. Amen. I haven't studied it. But this is what they do. We have counterfeits today. We have folks that, praise God, think that it is about how loud the music is, how it can make me jump, whether or not I speak in tongues. Come on, somebody. Amen. All of this is out here. And it's saying whether or not, praise God, my worship is true. But worship, praise God, of Christ must be heartfelt. It is an inside-out job. Spiritual worship is rooted in the heart. And the heart has to be prepared, just like you plow the ground out there. Praise God. Amen. To sow what? Seed. Rayshawn can go out there, praise God, and begin to plow, turn up soil left and right, praise God. Amen. And throw those seeds out there, praise God, on ground that's not prepared, praise God. And he can walk out there and those seeds will still be curled up. But when we prepare the soil, when I prepare to receive of Christ, and that word is going to go down in my heart and it's going to produce, praise God, a harvest, praise God, or a fruit that God can use. Worship must be of the heart. And I wouldn't dare have you leave, praise God, coming in and out and think, praise God, that you got it going on. Oh, you's a singer, you's a player. You got it going on, RJ. I felt it. Ooh, I felt it. And ain't a bitter word. We must worship Christ, the Christ, from our heart, mind, body, and soul. And then it has to be cultivated with his word. I've got to know who it is that's worthy of worship. I've got to prepare my heart daily with his words. And if I'm not doing that, the enemy's having his way with us. You wonder why it gets hard sometimes? You wonder why, you know, it seems like the devil's always on your back? Because he is. What are you doing to prepare? What time am I spending, praise God, amen, with heartfelt worship? When are we taking our families? Taking the time, praise God. Am I sitting with my spouse? When I'm laying beside that husband or wife, am I speaking blessing? Am I talking to the Lord? When I'm in there preparing that food, praise God, amen, am I talking with the Lord? Am I cultivating? Am I preparing? Am I speaking truth? It's got to be a response in us. I've got to be, praise God. In other words, if I'm preparing, if I'm doing this, praise God, I want you to know that God is going to get some glory. There's going to be a response, praise God. And it's going to be automatic. Nobody has to pump me up. Nobody has to tell me when to open my mouth. Because the God we serve, praise God, is always worthy of that praise. Spiritual worship involves a daily walk with God's people. And you know what? It doesn't matter what this body, shape this body is in. What's in the heart is going to come out. And what feeds the heart is the word of God. I'm going to have to be speaking truth, and it starts with myself every day. I can't wait for mother to call me and encourage me. I can't wait for the pastor to encourage me. Amen. I'm going to have to encourage my own self with the word of God. Why? Because there are counterfeits out here. And when I do that, worship is automatic. It's automatic. Spirit and in truth. I don't get confused, amen, about what I read. Come on, somebody. Because there are counterfeits out there. I know within my heart, amen, that it requires a walk with the Lord, amen, and I've got to be really careful about the salvation that I hold so dear. He's a real God that desires real people. You say you love me, RJ? How do you show that love? Christ says, if you love me, you will keep my what? You will love your neighbor as your what? You will love me with all your what? Heart, mind, body, and what? Soul. Nobody has to call me and tell me, praise God, when the service is, if I was out. I'm calling to find out what happened. Where are we going to be? What's going on? Because I'm concerned. Spirit is of the heart. Truth is found in his word. It involves the mind. When those two come together and our desires to please God, we're going to walk upright and we're going to walk by faith and not by what? Sight. That means what I see. If I look at my bank account and it's low, I am not discouraged. I know God is going to bless me. Amen, praise God, and I'm going to have what I need to pay my what? Bills. Does that mean I don't tithe? No. I'm trusting God who has blessed me all what? Year long. Amen. Sean, can I talk about you a minute? Rayshawn took a family leave from his job, good paying job. But he, like his father, had come to a point where that good paying job, you know, they knew the check was going to be there and all of that right there. There was an unrest that began to settle there. And getting up every morning and going to do something, amen, that you think because it's good that this is what I should be doing, but yet you know that God is telling you there's something else. So Rayshawn is a licensed plumber. He's a third generation plumber. His daddy, his granddaddy, all knew the trade. He has uncles. He's been doing that for 20 years. And under the apprenticeship of his dad, he had learned an excellency in doing that skill that not only could he do plumbing, but he could actually put together the whole house. He could see where things should go and how it should go. And then when he would do it, it just looked so professional. So his children is getting older. Son gonna be playing ball, and he's got a son getting ready to graduate. He's got a little girl, praise God. And he needed to make a decision. Lord, do I stay on this job or do I trust you that you're going to provide for my family? That you're going to, praise God, amen, make a way. So over these last few weeks, he's been testing the water. He let folks know, I'm doing plumbing. He and his dad had built a business, praise God. Amen. And it was prosperous. And what he found out was that God has already made a way. People have been calling. The way has already been made. He's done picked up some other license, some other certifications. And he's saying, if you'll just make that step and trust me, I've got this thing worked out. And then we're going to have to do like Father Abraham. When we make that step, we got to take time to do what? Worship. We've got to take the time. Don't wait and say, I got to get here. But amen, amen. Make a place in your home. Let your family know we're going to come together and we're going to worship God. Because he's the one who has blessed us and made the way. And I'm believing God that there's going to be more than enough. That he's going to come out of that rental home. Come on, somebody. That the cars are going to be paid off. Amen. And in a year, there'll be enough money, praise God, so that if that son wants to go to school, there's more than enough there. Now, why did I share that? Because I want you to be praying too. Come on, somebody. And then I want you to be supporting. Come on, somebody. Letting them know there's an excellent plumber. Yes. I want you to know I have him, praise God. Amen. He's been working on my house. We've been trying to, amen, wait for a GC, praise God, to get it, get in place, amen, to finish, amen, or to do what needs to be done. I looked at him, I said, Sean, we're going to have to do this because it needs some tender, loving care. And when you get a chance, I want you to ride by my house, come up the driveway, and look at the work that is being done. Excellent work. Amen. Why? Because God's hands is not only on him, but he's on all of his children who are trusting him and are willing to what? Step out on what? Faith. And then in return, we've got to realize that God is doing this for me and through me, that I might be a blessing like he did for Abraham. Amen. I'm going to bless you. Amen. So that you can be a blessing. Now, what you going to do about it? Amen. Are you going to trust me? He's looking for folks who are true worshipers. True worshipers don't hesitate. God, if you said it, I believe it. I am trusting you. You own all the money in the world. Come on, somebody. All, he said, cattle, but he owns it all. Now, are you going to worship me? Are you going to serve me? Will you be true? Will you walk upright before me? Speaking the truth in your heart. He says, I am seeking. Isn't that what you read? Amen. He says, I am what? Seeking. I'm looking for what? The what? True what? Worshippers. Folks who are not ashamed. Where's he needed? He's needed out in the world. He needs true worshipers out in the world. That have been led by the what? Spirit. And unashamed of my words. So I got to have a response. I need to have a response. RJ, I need to have, Angel, I must have a response to God's goodness. God has been good to you through her. And you know it. Now, as I told my children, don't you get out here and act and forget where you what came from. That means because when you start get your little first paycheck, you forget when she done all she can for you. I'm seeking. I'm looking. Have you forgotten? Have we forgotten? Do we have ears to hear and we can't hear? Eyes to see and we can't see? He says, I'm seeking, I'm looking for the true worshipers. I love it. Let not a day go by when I don't take time to give you praise, God. Let not a day go by when I don't take time to put that word on me, in me. Amen. I love that Bible app. Amen. With this technology, I love it. It prompts me, praise God, and lets me know, pray. Hey, here's a verse. Read me. Take it in. It's the truth. We taking in all this other stuff. Come on, somebody. You taking in a whole lot of stuff. But it's not what? Truth. And he says, I'll bless you. I'll bless you to be a blessing. Amen. To God be it. Now, you can't get blessed, but I know we think it's out there, but you can't get blessed better than God's blessing. Amen. And I don't want us to forget. Don't forget. Lord, help me not to forget. Help me to respond to your goodness. Let it be automatic. And when I feel myself getting all caught up in all this other stuff and all I can think about is what somebody's done wrong, you done stepped out of his will. If all I see is what's wrong with you, I have stepped completely out. But let me see the good, Lord. Help me to look with your eyes. Amen. To God be the glory. Amen. Start my day off speaking what you say, trusting in your word. Amen. Giving heartfelt service and not customer service. God's people give heartfelt service. Amen. That's why they call you back, Rayshawn. I know some of them don't want to pay. Amen, praise God. But you're going to give them heartfelt service. Because this thing is spiritual. Amen. And then when I walked in to have my car, amen, amen, I had to go in, been having trouble with my tires. Amen, flat, and getting up next morning, praise God. And I walked in on, she said, can you have your car in 8 o'clock Saturday morning? I said, yes, ma'am, I can. And I sent word to my son, I said, I need for you to come by and pump my tire up because it was about flat. And I needed 3 tires. Are you shaking your head? But it's okay. Needed some tires. And when I walked in, first thing the guy said, it's Saturday. It's Saturday. Friday, Thursday, Wednesday, Tuesday, Monday, Sunday. I said, and it's a blessed day. Amen. It is a blessed day, just like all the other days he's blessed us. Come on, somebody. My response has got to show that I've been in what? Worship. Come on, somebody. Amen. I'm not supposed to be speaking like, oh, it's so hot out here. Did he not tell us? Didn't he say that as long as the earth remained, there'd be what? Hot and what? So I got to have a response to God's goodness. And my response can't be worldly. It indicates I've been in worship with a good God. Amen. I don't know about you, but after it got hot, I mean, I went in the coolness of the air. Come on, somebody. Went in there. After I had to work outside, I went on the inside. Come on. You didn't have to work out there. Some folks got to work out there all day, but God, come on, somebody. But we don't want to be known as the folks, the more God bless us, seem like the more forgive. No, 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 no. That is not the people of God. Amen. And we got to teach our children the same way, the ways of the Lord. Amen. Don't let them get out there and start speaking like the world. And I despise it when I hear children bless their food and then turn around and curse it. Oh, this is nasty. The devil is a lie. He's a lie. So we have a responsibility and we have a job to do. Responding to God's goodness. Well, my response to God's goodness. I want you to be mindful that every day that I get up, he's seeking. Will you worship me in spirit and in what? Truth. Will you surrender your heart to me this day? You got to do it every day. Oh, we had a good service last Sunday. Oh, it was, ooh, it was just so. Last Sunday. Come on, somebody. This is a new day. And you have to get up and surrender yourself every day to God's will. Amen. And then after we surrender our heart, I want you to speak the truth of God's word. Amen. Parents, would you speak this over your home? Will you young parents say, well, you know, I know we have not, you know, done this on a regular basis, and there may be some days, praise God, but we're going to make it. If I don't do it, Pete, you do it. RJ, you do it. Take some time and begin, because we got to break some stuff. We got to break some stuff. And if what you've been doing ain't working, what? Come on now, this is going to work. This is God's word. He says, I'm seeking, I'm looking you. Will he find me in true worship? Amen. Let us stand all over the church. In the New Testament, he tells us that we are that living sacrifice. And we're to present ourselves holy and acceptable unto God. Amen. It's our reasonable service. But he keeps reminding me. He says, I'm seeking. I know my people think they are worshiping, but there ain't no word there. And their hearts are far from me. And they come in my house and their minds are all over the place. They won't surrender unto me. But he says, the day you hear me, harden not your what? Which means that I can be hearing and rejecting, which means our heart gets what? Harder and what? Harder. But if there is one on today that have heard this word and say, Pastor, you know, I've been coming, but I really haven't been sincere about my worship. And I want to make this right. If that's you, I want you to come. And of course, if I haven't made that commitment, I'd come running. We don't set a chair out. Chair kind of makes you think you need to come and sit down. We got too many folks sitting in the church. But when the servant found Rebecca, when God sent him to find that wife, he found that woman working. Amen. And when he looks on us, he want to find us working.
Once again, all of us here at White Oak, thank you for listening. God bless.